Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the top line of Daf Lamed Beis at the Mishnah. Before we begin the actual text, let's glance at the side where we have one of the features of the Shas Ozer, the Mark Demars, the No Say, the topic heading that you find on the side. There we've written Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Rabbi Kiva. We'll see a controversy between these two Tanoim, B'tkiyos B'shmoin Esrei Shel Musaf Rosh Hashanah, regarding the shofar blowing during the Shmona Esrei of the Musaf davening, B'frat Ha'im Toikin Al Malchios. The Musaf Shmona Esrei of Rosh Hashanah, in addition to the standard three first brachos and the standard final three brachos, there are intermediate brachas, three more intermediate brachas that are added, that are called Malchios, Zichronois, and Shofrois, making for a total of nine brachas. The issue that we'll be focusing on immediately has to do with, is there a shofar blowing as part of the Malchios section of the Shmona Esrei? The Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, loy, the Rabbi Kiva, kain. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, no, but according to Rabbi Kiva, there was a shofar blowing at the conclusion of that section. Now the Mishnah. Seder Brachos Omer, the order of the Brachos that one says in the Musaf Shmona Esrei of Rosh Hashanah, Avos Ugvuros Ukedushas Hashem, those are the standard Brachos Avos, Mogein Avraham, it's the opening Bracha that ends with Mogein Avraham, Kedushas Hashem, when Ha'kel HaKadosh in general on Rosh Hashanah, the 10 intermediate and the 10 days of the Aser Shemei Tshuva, we say HaMelech HaKadosh, and Gvuros, of course, is we skip that as after Avos, which is Mogin Avraham. Gvuros is the Brocha, it begins Ato Gibor the Olam Hashem, ends Mechaye Mesim, and the Kedushas Hashem, as we said, HaMelech HaKadosh V'Koylel Malchios Imohen V'Eino Tokea. As part of the Bracha of Kedushas Hashem, according to this first opinion, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, you will say the Malchios additional Bracha together with the Kedushas Hashem. That means that all of the added psukim that the Gemara talks about later regarding Malchios, where we acknowledge the Almighty's reign as a king, this is included in the Bracha of Kedushas Hashem, and there's no shofar blowing. Then Kedushas Hayom V'Tokea. The Kedushas Hayom Bracha Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron. It's the Bracha that you make that commemorates the holiday. Every holiday has a Bracha known as Kedushas Hayom. So according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, upon reciting that Bracha, Kedushas Hayom, so you will have a set of shofar blowings. Zichroinois V'Tokea, Shofros V'Tokea. The Omer Avoda Vohido Birchas Kohanim, and then you say the Brocha Vavoda Ritzei Hoido is the Brocha Hatov Shimcha Luchona Ola Hoidois, Birchas Kohanim is the priestly blessing. Divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, of course, the Mishnah doesn't spell out, but there's also the Brocha of the Birchas HaShalom, which after the Birchas Kohanim, you continue with that Sim Shalom Tovo, and then ending Hamavorach Es Amo Yisrael Bashalom. That's Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's approach. Omar Loi Rabbi Akiva. You can see we've noted this is a second approach. He says Im Eino Tokel Malchios Lomo Hu Maskir. Rabbi Akiva says, according to you, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, if you're not going to have a shofar blowing for Malchios, so why do you bother saying that section of added prayers added psukim for if you're not going to blow the shofar? Ela Oimer. So here Rabbi Akiva gives you his approach. You say Avos Ugvuros Ukedushas Hashem, the standard three opening brachas, the Kolel Malchios Im Kedushas Hayoim, the Tokea. So together with the bracha of Kedushas Hayom, we also insert the Malchios section, and there is a shofar blowing. Zichronos v'tokea, shofros v'tokea, the Omer Avoda, v'hoida, u'birkas kohanim. Omar lo Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi, this is a... The Gemara opens up with Rabbi Akiva addressing Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, im eino tokea l'malchios. Now here we have a bracketed section which the Gemara will fix. In other words, if you really want to see Rabbi Akiva's real question, you skip the bracketed section, and Rabbi Akiva is asking him, "Eino tekela malchios lomo eser? Why have 10 verses added to that section?" Lema teisha, say just 9 verses in that section, 9 verses that commemorate the Almighty's function as a king during Rosh Hashanah. Say just 9 special psukim, as opposed to the 10 that we do say for the Zichronos and Shofros. For the Malchios, according to you, that you're not blowing the shofar, so say just 9 psukim. The Hoyel, the Ishtani, since it's gone through a change, since you're not blowing a shofar for the Malchios, so why not say, according to your approach, say just 9 psukim, since it's different. Rashi, on the first narrow line, Lema teisha dahil de ivishtani, Malchios mi zichronos lenin tekia. Since Malchios is different than the zichronos regarding the shofar blowing, shein toiken bohen, ishtanu nami lifchois mehem. Let it be different also, having fewer verses, one less verse. So that's the explanation of what Rabbi Akiva was saying to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in the Mishnah. And that's why you can see that we've put a frame around that, because it really parallels or embellishes on what Rabbi Akiva was saying to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in the Mishnah itself. Now, but we did skip a few words there, so let's go over this section again with the brackets. Omar lo Rabbi Akiva, im eino tokea la Malchios, if you're not blowing the shofar for Malchios, as you, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, had said, lomo hu maskir, why should he have any reference to Malchios whatsoever? He shouldn't say Malchios. So the Gemara says, are you really asking that? Lama hu maskir? Rachmono omar idkar. The Torah instructs us to acknowledge the Almighty's monarchy or kingship. How can you even suggest, well, why bother saying it? You have to say it. And Rashi points out, this will be taught later in a brisa from where we know that. Elo, Lomo Eser. Why 10? Why do you insert 10 psukim that acknowledge the Almighty's kingship when you're not blowing the shofar? Lemo Teisha, Dehoyel V'ishtani Ishtani. You should say just 9 to signify its difference from the others, from the Malchios and the Zichronos. From the Zichronos and the Shofros. The Malchios being different according to you. And now the Gemara continues, but before we begin the Gemara, we want to note the structure, the no say, the topic heading and structure that you find on the side now is, you see a triangle on the side, Minayin Sha'oimrim. The Gemara will be seeking out sources from where do you know to say the different brachas of the Shmona Esrei, and the double underline is also part of our series, so the triangle will highlight the word Minayin, from where do you know, and She'omrim, whatever, that's the three dots, whatever. If you scan ahead in the Gemara, you can see Minayin She'omrim Ovos, Minayin She'omrim Gvuros, Minayin She'omrim Kedushos, Minayin She'omrim Zichronos V'Shofros, etc. the Gemara will be telling us Makoros, sources, Lamiras, Brachos, Hashoinos, Shel, Shmoina Esrei, Shel Musaf Rosh Hashanah, the sources for the different Brachos that we say during the Shmoina Esrei of Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. So, the Gemara. Tonu Rabbanan. Minayin Sheoimrim Ovois. From where do we know that we are to commemorate the patriarchs? Shinemar Hovu Lashem Bnei Elim. Bnei Elim is a reference to the strong ones. So we praise the Kodesh Baruch Hu and acknowledge his strong ones, the ones that were so dedicated, the patriarchs, the founders of our people. Uminayin Sheomrim Vuros. And from where do we know that one is to acknowledge the strength of the Almighty? For lack of better translation, that's what we're saying. Gibor ato gibor lioilam, the gvuros, the strength. Shenema hovu lashem kavoid va'ois. Also from Tehillim Perek Choftes, from the chapter 29 in Tehillim and Psalms, we see that we're supposed to acknowledge the Almighty's kavod va'oz, oz being strength. Uminayin sheoimim kedushos, shenemar, the pasuk says, havu lashem kavod shemoi, hishtachavu lashem bahadras kodesh. So we acknowledge the holiness, the kedusha of Hashem, as you can see a reference to kodesh in this pasuk. Uminayin sheoimim, now that we put a brackets around one word, and the reason for that is because in this immediate next section of Gemara, the Gemara will not be dealing with Malchios. If you skim down a few lines, you'll see the next triangle and double underline. There the Gemara asks, Minayin Sheoimrim Malchios. So that's why here we're de-emphasizing that word, even though it's printed in the Gemara. The Gemara is not going to deal with it immediately. So we can now read the Gemara. Minayin Sheoimrim Malchios Zichronos V'Shofros. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Dichtiv, Shabosoin Zichroin Trua Mikro Kodesh. Shabboson ze kedushas hayom. Interestingly, the Gemara didn't ask minayin sheomrim kedushas hayom, but it is one of the brachos that we say, so we want to acknowledge that as well. So Shabboson is a reference to the holiness of the day. It's a day. Shabboson means where you stop doing malacha, you cease from creative activities. Zichroin, the pasuk said, elu zichroinos. That's a reference to the section that we call Zichronos in the Shmoneh Esrei, where Psukim are added to acknowledge that. And Trua, Elu, Shofros. The Pasuk said Zichron, Trua, Trua is a reference to the Shofros section, where we insert Psukim that feature the Shofar. Mikra, Kodesh, that phrase in the Pasuk, Mikra, Kodesh, Kadshehu ba'asiyas melacha. Sanctify the day through the stopping of asiyas melacha, from the cessation of creative activity. That's how we sanctify the day. Omar lo Rabbi Akiva, v'pnei ma lo nomar. Why is it that we don't say the following? Shabbosoin shvus. The word Shabboson in the Pasuk, not like you said, refers to Kedushas Hayom, but rather this refers to Shvus. Shvus means the Isur Melacha, that which we cease from creative activity. Shvus means to cease. Sheboi Pasach HaKosuv Tchila. This is the opening of the Pasuk. Shabboson Zichron Trua. Shabboson, that should be acknowledged first. In other words, that's the ikur, the main aspect of the holiday is that which we sanctify it through stopping from creative activity. Some people say we stop from work, but the word work is not a good translation. Malacha is more like something that is creative in nature. All the lamites of malachas are called malachas, creative activities. So being that that's the main aspect of the holiday, it should be acknowledged first in the Pasuk. Elo, so hence Rabbi Akiva tells us his breakdown of the Pasuk. Shabboson is Katsheu Basias Malacha. sanctify it through the isur of creative activity, through the prohibition of engaging in creative activity, the 39 avos malachos, writing and planting and plowing and harvesting, etc. Zichroin, elu zichronos, trua elu shofros, mikro kodesh zu kedushas hayom. So here you have Rabbi Akiva's version of the source for Kedusha Seyom in the words Mikro Kodesh. What you might be losing in Rabbi Akiva's approach, which you gained in Rabbi Lezer's approach to the Pasuk preserved the order of the Brachos in the Shemona Esrei. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, the source in the Pasuk for Kedusha Seyom is found at the end of the pasuk, when in actuality, when you're davening, when you're praying, so Kedusha Sayom is recited earlier, before the Zichronos and Shofros. Minayin Shoimrim Malchios. So here we ask, from where do we know that you say Malchios? As we mentioned before, even though the Gemara had raised that question, we put the word Malchios in brackets, because here the Gemara deals with that section. From where do we know that we add a section to the Musaf Shemona Esrei called Malchios, Tanya? And here we have a couple of opinions. Rebbe Oimer, Ani Hashem Elokechem. This you find in Vayikra, Perek Chof Gimel, Pasuk Chof Beis. And the term Elokechem is a reference to the Almighty as a source, as He is the source of power. I am the master. Uksiv, and shortly thereafter in Pasuk Chav Dalet, it says Uvachodesh Hashvi, the seventh month. The seventh month being a reference to Tishrei. Tishrei is the seventh month. The beginning of the seventh month begins with the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. So Zu Malchus. So this is Rebbe's reference to Malchus. Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda Oimer, Einoi Tzorech. You don't need that as a source. Hareyu Omer, it says in Bamidbar Perek Yud Pasuk Yud, V'hoyu lochem lezikoroin lefnei elokechem, Ani Hashem Elokechem. It goes on to say in that Pasuk, Ani Hashem Elokechem, She'ein Talmud Loimar Ani Hashem Elokechem. The phrase in and of itself doesn't seem to be necessary. After all, it just said Lefnei Elokechem. Why does it repeat Ani Hashem Elokechem? Uma Talmud Loimar Ani Hashem Elokechem. So what is the point in that? Ze Bono Av. It's there to set a rule. L'chol Mokom Shenemar Boi Zichroinois. See, in this pasuk we saw the word V'hoyu Lochem Lezikoroin. And the word Lezichron we dashed underline. So it tells me that wherever you see Zichroinois, you Malchios Imoyim, the section of the Shemona Esrei that we refer to by Zichroinois, and the Gemara will tell us more about that later on. There are psukim where the Kodesh Baruch Hu, let's say, remembers Am Yisrael. So wherever you see a section for Zichroinois, you should have Malchios accompanying them. V'heicha, now the Gemara gets into a new discussion. On the side we have a topic heading. Heichon oimrim birkas kedushas hayom shel musaf Rosh Hashanah. Where is that bracha positioned when it comes to the musaf of Rosh Hashanah? Machlokes Rebbe v'Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. The bracha of kedushas hayom will be the subject of a machlokes atanoyim. So the Gemara, V'heichon Oimra L'Kedushas Hayom, where is it positioned in the Shemona Esrei? Tanya, Rebbe Oimer, Im Hamalchios Oimra. You say Kedushas Hayom together with the section that we call Malchios, Ma Motzinu B'chol Mokoyim Boravii, just like in every Shemona Esrei, every holiday Shemona Esrei, the Kedushas Hayom Bracha, where we say Mekadesh Yisrael, V'hazmanim, on other holidays, here we say Mekadesh Yisrael V'yom HaZikaron on Rosh Hashanah, it's the holiday bracha, the special holiday bracha is always in the fourth position. Afkan B'Revi is so too on Rosh Hashanah, it shall be in position 4. Now, there, we should point out a difference. In general, the holiday Shmoneh Esrei is made up of 7 brachos. The first 3 and last 3 standard brachos, and the middle bracha called Kedushas Hayom. So, the number 4 bracha is, as far as Rebbe is concerned, the position for the holiday-related benediction. It's after the Kedushas, it's after the bracha of Hokel HaKadosh, or in this case, HaMelech HaKadosh. So then you add the Kedushas Hayom bracha. Just like it's number 4 on any other holiday, on Pesach, on Shavuos, on Sukkot, etc. Reb Shimon Gamliel Oimer, Im HaZichroinois Oimra. You're to say the Kedushas Hayom bracha, the holiday bracha, together with the Zichronos section of the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. Why in the Zichronos section? Ma motzinu b'chol mokoyim be'emtza avkan be'emtza. Just like on other holidays where you have 7 brachas, the number four is in the middle. So too on Rosh Hashanah, where you have 9 brachas, you have Kedushas Hayom mentioned in the middle. So what is the middle of 9? The fifth bracha. The fifth bracha would be Zichronos. Now, how is 5 in the middle of 9? Because on either side you have 4 beforehand and 4 afterwards. So that's the number 5 position. And with the Shmon Esrei of Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, you have your first standard 3, you have your middle section, Machil, Zichronos, and Shofros. Zichronos is in the middle, hence you should combine the Kedushas Hayom Brocha with Zichronos. Ukeshe Kitshu Bezin is a Shona B'Usha, when based in, sanctified the new year in Usha. Usha was one of the locations, and we learned this in a previous Gemara, where the Sanhedrin was located, and Sanhedrin was charged with sanctifying the new year. So when the based in sanctified the new year in Usha, Yorad Reb Yochanan ben Broika Lifnei Reb Shimon Amliel, Reb Yochanan Broika served as the Shliach Tzibor, as the Chazan, in the presence of Reb Shimon Amliel. The word Yorad is an indication of someone going to we'll call it the lectern or the podium where the Shliach Tzibur functions. The word Yorad literally means he descended, because in a truly traditional or authentic type synagogue, the place of the Shliach Tzibur, the Chazan, the cantor, is as a low point. Mimamakim krosich Hashem, the pasuk says, from the depths we call out unto Hashem. So the term Yorad is used for the assuming the position of the Shliach Tzibor. So when Rabbi Yochanan Broka served as the leader of the prayers, he followed the practice of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Now, what is that a reference to? So we saw before in the Mishnah where Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri did not have a shofar blowing for the Malchios, but rather his shofar blowing was with the first section of shofar blasts was done with the Kedushas Hayom. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka did in the presence of Rabbi Shimon Liel, and Omar lo Rabon Shimoin lo hoyu nohagin kain biYavne. We in Yavne, which was a previous station in the exile of the Sanhedrin, we didn't follow that approach. Liyom Hasheni. There are different explanations of what Liyom Hasheni is. It's either the next day, the second day, or next year. Yorad Rabbi Hanina Benoi Shor Rabbi Yosi Haglili, the also Rabbi Akiva. So there was a different Shliach Tzibor, who was Rabbi Hanina, who also he served as the Shliach Tzibor, the also Rabbi Akiva, and he practiced like Rabbi Akiva. Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Kach Hoyu Noagim Yavne. That's the way we did things in Yavne, when we saw Rabbi Akiva with regard to blowing the shofar, that there was a shofar blowing for the Malchios section. The Gemara continues, L'meimra, Reb Shimon Gamliel, K'Rabbi Akiva, Svirole. Are we to then assume that Reb Shimon Gamliel accepts Rabbi Akiva's approach to the Shmoneh Esrei and to the shofar blowings? V'ha, Omar Rabbi Akiva, Malchios im Kedushas Hayoim, Omar Lahu. According to Rabbi Akiva, the Malchios was combined with Kedushas Hayom. For Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Omer Kedushas Hayoim im Whereas Rav Shimon Gamliel says that the Kedushas Hayom Brocha is combined with Zichroinos. So how can you create the impression that Rav Shimon Gamliel accepts Rabbi Akiva when there's a difference between them? Omar Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera explains that which Rabbi Shimon Gamliel agrees with Rabbi Akiva, that's only with regard to Toikin Limalchios, regarding that point of law. But as far as where Kedushas Hayom is recited, there you do have a difference between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. L'yoim Hasheni, Yorad Rabbi Chanina. We made reference before to the different possibilities of what that means. Here the Gemara itself deals with Yom Hasheni. My Sheni. What does that mean? The second day. He Lemo Yom Tov Sheni. If you're going to tell us, it means that they celebrated 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Now you're dealing with a two-day phenomenon at the time before a calendar was established, a formal calendar. So how did things work in those days? In those days, things worked. New months, in this case, a new month is the beginning of Tishrei, which is also the beginning of the new year, which it represents the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. That was established by witnesses who came to the court testifying that they saw a new lunar phase. They would have had to come on day, what would have been day 30 of Elul, and if they come and testify on day 30, so then day 30 will turn into day 1. If the witnesses don't show up on day 30, so the people, not knowing what would be, would observe the day after the 29th of Elul, anticipating that on day 30 the witnesses might show up, so they start off the day in holiness, as if it were a holiday. If the witnesses don't show up, so then the next day, which we call day 31, that will be declared as Rosh Hashanah. But in effect, first of all, that's called Ibur, or that's called Ibur HaChodesh, where we extend a month. Whereas instead of the month being 29 days, Elul in that case would be 30 days, and day 31 would then convert into day 1 of Rosh Hashanah, or the first of Tishrei. Practically speaking, if that were to happen, they would have observed 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Again, we're sounding a little repetitious, but it's important here. Why then would they have celebrated 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? Because they would have extended Elul because the witnesses didn't show up on day 30. So the Tanaic source that we just read said that on the second day, Rabbi Chanino served as the Shliach Tzibur in front of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Now, what does that mean, the second day? My Sheni. He Lemo Yom Tov Sheni, meaning the second day of Rosh Hashanah of that year. Lameimra Di Bruha Li Elul. Then you would be saying that they had extended Elul. V'yomer Rabbi Chanino Bar Kahana, Mi'amois Ezra V'Eilech Lo Motzinu Elul Mu'ubar. From the time of Ezra, Ezra was the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash period, and now we're at a time that's after the Churban HaBayis. It's hundreds of years later. During all of those years, we don't find a two-day Rosh Hashanah. We don't find that they extended Elul by a day, making Elul a 30-day month. And then, as we explained before, they would have observed day 30 as a holy day, and the next day they have to observe as a holy day. But we never find that. Since the time of Ezra till now, in the time of the Gemara here, we don't find that. So to say that they had a second day of Rosh Hashanah, similar to what we have. We have a two-day Rosh Hashanah. They didn't have two-day Rosh Hashanahs, because witnesses who were the source of establishing, the basis of establishing a new month, they always showed up on day 30, making that into day 1, and that's it. One day, as the Torah says, one day of Rosh Hashanah. Omar Rav Chisda, my Sheni. So Rav Chisda explains, what does Sheni mean in the Tanaic source? It means the young Sheni, Lashana Haba, means the second Rosh Hashanah, the next year, the second year, meaning the year after the first event took place, where we saw Rabbi Shimon Gamliel not approving of what was done, because we saw Rabbi Yochanan Broka serving as Shliach Tzibor, doing like Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. So the year after, then we call that year after, the second year, things were done to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel's liking. So that's what Yom HaShani means, the next year. We now have a new Mishnah. The topic heading on the side reads, Machloikis Tanoim B'mispar Hapsukim Shel Malchios Zichronos V'Shofros. Here we're going to see a Tanaic controversy regarding how many psukim, how many verses constitute the special three added sections of the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. So the Mishnah, Ein Pochasin Me'asora Malchios, Me'asora Zichronos, Me'asora Shofros. One is not to have less than 10 psukim that acknowledge the monarchy of Hashem, the kingship, the zichronos, the recollection of Am Yisrael in the eyes of Hashem, and the reference to the shofar. 10 psukim for each one of those. Rabbi Yochanan Uri Omer, Im Omar Gimel Gimel, Mikulon Yotzef. If you said three of each one, you have fulfilled your requirement. The Gemara will deal with this comment of Rehoboam. What exactly does he mean when he says, if you say three of each one? Hani Asora Machios Keneged Mi. The 10 verses. Why is it that we pick the number 10? What is that commemoration of? So we have several answers. And we, on the side of the Gemara, you see we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. So this represents Tshuvos LaSheilo. These are answers to the question, Hani Asor Machios Keneged Mi? In honor of whom are these 10 verses added? The Gemara. Omar Rebbe Levi. Keneged Asora Hilulim Sheomar David B'Sefer Tehillim. Now here we just translate, because the Gemara will correct this in a minute, but it says in commemoration of the 10 words of praise, we say Halleluka or Hallelu in the book of Psalms. So in honor of the 10 Hallelukas that you find in that book. So the Gemara asks, Hilulim Tuvahava. There are many more than 10 references. So the Gemara answers, no, that's not, we're talking about the entire book of Tehillim. We're talking about Hanoch Dichsiv Behu Halleluhu Beseka Shofar. We're talking about the 10 words of praise that you find in chapter Kuf Nun, chapter 150, the last chapter of Sefer Tehillim. Rav Yosef Omar Keneged Asaras HaDibros, the 10 references, the 10 verses that we add in the Malchios is in honor of the 10 commandments. Shenamru Loi L'Moshe B'Sinai, the 10 commandments that were given over to Moshe on the Mount of Sinai. On the Mount Sinai, that is. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Keneged Asora Ma'amoros Shebohen Nivra Ha'olam, in honor of the 10 commands that were responsible for the creation of the world. And Rashi points out, this is in line with the idea that the world was created on Rosh Hashanah, hence the connection between the two. Now that, of course, is a machlokes tanoim that we learned earlier in the Masichta, when the world was created, whether it was Rosh Hashanah Nivra Olam or B'Nisan Nivra Olam. But Rabbi Yochanan is accepting, as far as Rashi is concerned, this approach that says Rosh Hashanah. Now, regarding this point that there were 10 ma'amoros, 10 words of command on the part of the Almighty in the creation of the world, hey ninhu, Vayomer de Bracious. What are the words of command, the Ma'amoros? It's a reference to the word Vayomer, where the Pasuk says, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, and the Almighty announced there shall be light. So Vayomer, and he spoke. That's the word that we refer to when we say the words of creation. But Tisha Havu, there are only nine of those. So how do you account for 10 ma'amoros, 10 words, 10 commands of creation? The Gemara answers, Bracious, Nami Ma'amor Hu. The Torah opens up, Bracious, Boro, Elokim, Es HaShemayim VeEs. That word, Bracious, is also a command word, Dichtiv. Now, what does it actually say? Bracious, Boro, Elokim, Es HaShemayim VeEs. So, Bracious, there was a creation of Shemayim. You don't see any word Vayomer Hashem, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Shemayim. So where do you see the creation of Shemayim? Where do you see the creation of the heavens? And so it's the word Bracious. Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Bidvar Hashem Shemayim Naasu. With the word of Hashem, the heavens were created. So where is there any word that indicates the word of Hashem that is responsible for the creation of the heavens? That is the word Bracious. So by counting Bracious plus the nine Vayomers that you see in the section of creation, you get to 10 words of creation. Rabbi Yochanan Uri Omer im Omar Shalosh Shalosh Mikulon Yotza Ibai Eloho Heichi Kotoni. This 3-3 that Rabbi Yochanan Uri said, how do you explain that? What does that mean, 3-3? So the Gemara gives you two possibilities, and we, with our markings, as we often do, we call this Aleph. The next line you see the squiggle in line, Oy Dilma, Beis. Is it this way to understand it, or Dilma, O Dilma, or maybe this way? The Gemara. Shalosh is it to be understood, Shalosh min HaTorah, Shalosh min HaNeviim, V'Shalosh min HaKsuvim, Dehavu Teisha. Is Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri saying that it's enough that you say a total of nine, meaning three verses from the Torah, three from the prophets, and three from the later writings, the Ksuvim, acknowledging the Malchus, the kingship of Hashem, which would give you a total of nine, the Iko Binayu Chadol, and then the difference would be one pasuk between the first opinion of the Mishnah, the 10, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri is saying nine. Oy Dilma, or maybe when Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri says 3-3 is enough, what he means is O Dilma Echod min HaTorah, V'Echod min HaNeviim, V'Echod min HaKsuvim, one verse from the Torah, one verse from the prophets, one verse from the later writings, Dahavion Luhu Shalosh, which would be a total of three verses, V'Ika Binayu Tuva. And then there's a big difference between the Tanakam, who said 10, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, who's saying 3. A difference of seven. So what is Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri's approach? What's his point when he says, if you say Gimel Gimel, that's enough? Toshma Desanya. Now, we're going to bring a source that's going to bear out this second approach. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri is saying that you fulfill your requirements by saying just three verses in those in each middle section of the Shemone Esrei. Desanya Ein pochasin me'asor malchios, me'asor zechronos, me'asor shofros. The Tanakhama says that if you cannot say less than 10 malchios verses, 10 zechronos and 10 shofros. V'im omar sheva mikulam yotza keneged shiva rikim. And if you said 7, then you have fulfilled your requirement. In other words, the Tanakam is giving you a certain realm of flexibility. He's telling you, if you said 7, you also have fulfilled your requirement, which is in commemoration of the 7 Rikim, the 7 levels of heaven. That's we'll call it a mystical concept, but we go on after having just translated. Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri o Omar, Hapoches lo yivchos misheva. One who is going to be reducing the number, he shouldn't say less than 7. the Omar Shalosh Mikulon Yotza. And if he said three, he is also in fulfillment, Keneged Torah Nevi'im Uksuvim, in commemoration of the three sections of the Tanakh, the Torah and the Nevi'im, the prophets, and the Ksuvim, the later writings, constituting the Tanakh, the holy scriptures, the Amri Law. Another explanation of the number three is Keneged Kehanim Levi'im V'Yisraelim. So now, to sew things up here, Rashi helps immensely. Rashi, lo yivchos, toward the end of the Rashi column, lo yivchos misheva. This is Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri saying that if you're going to say a lesser number, don't say less than seven. V'i salka daitoch sholosh min ha-Torah v'sholosh min ha-Navim v'sholosh min ha-Ksuvim l'chol echad ve'echad. If you're going to say like the Aleph possibility when we opened up this question, that you should say no less than three from Torah, three from Nevi'im, and three from Ksuvim for each section. Im Kain Sheva Nami, then the Sheva number that he uses has to be parallel. So then it would be Sheva min Torah, v'Sheva min Nevi'im, v'Sheva min Ksuvim. You'd end up with a total of 21 verses. Havi Le Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri Mosif, and then it would come out that Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri is actually giving you a larger number than the Tanakhama, and we know that Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri represents a lesser number. He's trying to reduce the requirement. Therefore, when Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri speaks about the numbers that he offers, when he says three, it doesn't mean three of Torah, three of Nevi'im, three of Ksuvim, but rather three total, meaning one pasuk from the Torah, one pasuk from the Nevi'im, one pasuk from the Ksuvim, that make reference to the Malchus of Hashem. And then in the next section also, Zichronos, one pasuk from Torah, one pasuk from Nevi'im, and one pasuk from Ksuvim that mentions Zichronos, and likewise with regard to the Shofar. Omar Rav Huna, Omar Shmuel, Halacha, Kreb Yochanan Ben Nuri. And the Gemara rules that if you said this a significantly reduced number, you also will have fulfilled your requirement. In practice, we say many more than Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri, but the Gemara is giving you a called the minimum amount through which you can fulfill your requirement. The Mishnah. Ein maskirin malchios zichronos v'shofros shel pur'onos. The Gemara will explain what that means, what that's a reference to, but one shall not mention psukim where you see these concepts of malchus, zichronos, and shofros in a negative context. Pur'onos means in a hurtful or punishing sense. Maschil b'toru mashlim b'novi. When you have, let's say, you have the ten psukim, so you start off with three psukim from the Torah, and the tenth pasuk shall be from the prophets. So according to this setup, you start with the Torah, first three, middle three, next three prophets, then the next three from the writings, from the ksuvim, and the last pasuk, number 10, is from the prophets. Rabbi Yosi Oimer im hishlim b'Torah yotza. Rabbi Yossi says, and here we translate, he says, if you finished with a Torah pasuk, you have also fulfilled your requirement. So when you read the Mishnah and translate it, you get the impression that Rabbi Yossi is not in favor as a first choice to be mashlim b'Torah, to finish off with Torah, but if you did it, you were also yotze. Now the Gemara, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Malchios, now, before we actually read the Gemara, we should glance at the side where we have a structural note. You see diamonds are featured. So under the Mivneh heading, Dugmois shel Malchios Zichronos v'Shofros shel Pur'onos delo Amrinon. So the diamonds will introduce Psukim having references to these concepts, Malchios Zichronos v'Shofros, but in a negative light. And hence, we do not choose these psukim to insert into the Shmona Esrei. The Gemara. Machios, Kigon, Chayani Hashem, Num Hashem Elikim,
im lo biyad chazaka uvizra netuya uvechema shvucha emloich aleichem.
So you see the word emloch, that's malchus. But the pasuk itself is the Almighty is swearing that I will eventually rule over you with an outstretched arm and with a spilling forth with wrath. So kingship through wrath is not something we want to acknowledge. The Gemara, however, points out something very interesting. This pasuk is referred to by Rav Nachman. V'afagav d'yomer Rav Nachman. Even though Rav Nachman said regarding this pasuk, he said, "Kol ki hay rischa lirsach kudsha brichu alon v'lifru kinon." I don't care, he says, how angry God gets. Let him get as angry as he wants, but as long as it results in our redemption. So you see, the Rav Nachman looks at this pasuk in a favorable light, that so be it that there is a reference to wrath, but let him be wrathful just as long as it results in our redemption. Nevertheless, kevam de berischa omur, since it is said in wrath, adkure rischa beresh shasa lo madkirinon. The word adkuri, madkirin, it's the same shoresh, dalid chof resh. You see in that word? It's an Aramaic word. In Aramaic, the dalid can interchange with the Hebrew zayin. So you see, this is a reference to mentioning, lizkor, lazkir, to mention something. So that the Gemara is telling us that since this pasuk was mentioned in wrath, on Rosh Reishos, at the beginning of the year, we don't want to mention wrath. Zikaron, kagon, what's an example of a zikaron posuk that is of a pur'onus sense? The posuk says, Vayizkor ki boser hema ruach hoylech v'lilo yoshuv. A reference to the Almighty remembers that man is made of flesh and eventually disappears into nothingness and does not come back. So there's a reference to Zichronos, our being recounted, but in a negative, transient sense. Hence, not appropriate for the Rosh Hashanah Shmona Esrei. Shofar kagon, tiku shofar bagiva. Okay, there's an example of a pasuk where shofar is mentioned, but in a negative war context. Avol im bo loimar malchus zikaron v'shofar shel puronus shel oivdei kechavim oimer. If, however, you want to make reference to one of these concepts in the context of the puronus, the punishment, the retribution against idol worshippers, that you have license to say. And you see a new marking, the volcano shape is introduced, it's a series marking, and on the side, under our Mivneh, we know, Pur'onus shel oivdei kechavim amrinon. And now, the Gemara gives examples. Malchus kagon, an example of Malchus, where there's the Pur'onus of goyim, of oivdei kechavim, of idol worshippers, kagon, Hashem Moloch Yirgizu Amim. So you see Moloch there, and it's the Kodesh Baruch Hu rules and gets wrathful or angry with the nations. Ukagon Hashem Melech Oilam Voed Avdu Goyim Me'artso. Another pasuk where you see Malchus and a reference to the destruction of the heathens from his land. Zikaron, a zikaron of Pur'onus of the Kechavim Kagon, Zichor Hashem Livnei Edoim V'chulei. And in the context of that pasuk, where Hashem remembers the destructive nature of Edom, and He will punish them. Shofar Kagon, Vashem Elokim Bashofar Yisko V'holach Besarois Teimon. Uksiv Hashem Tzivokos Yogain Alehem. Well, in the context of this pasuk, you have shofar is mentioned, and it's the retribution sought of the idol worshippers. Ein maskirin zikaroin shel yochid. Vafilu l'toivo.
When we speak about Kodesh Baruch Hu recounting, if he's recounting an individual, even if it's in a positive context, nevertheless, it's Shel Yochid, so we don't reference that on Rosh Hashanah in the Shemoneh Esrei. Kegoin Zachreini Hashem Birtzoina Mecha. That's an example where the Pasuk is saying, remember me on a personal level. And Uchagon Zichro Li Elokai L'toivo. Again, Zikaron, but in a personal sense. Remember me on a personal level. The Gemara continues with a Tanaic source, and we also have a structural note to make on the side, the Mivneh. The triangles highlight Machloikis Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi Kan Bebraisa. We add this point Kan Bebraisa because later on the page there will be another Machloikis Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, but it's not part of this section, so we're not going to be marking it off as part of this series. So the Braisa now continues with different aspects of the psukim, the Shemoneh Esrei psukim that we're adding, and as we said, you'll see machlokes on each one of these points between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. By rule of thumb, in this particular source, you'll find that Rabbi Yehuda represents a minimalistic approach where he reduces, he says less than that which Rabbi Yossi says. That will become clearer as we go through the examples. Pikdonos, where you see the word pokad, pei, kuf, dalid, hare, hein, kezichronos. They have the same status as zichronos. It has to do with Hashem remembering, so to speak. Kigon Vashem Pokad Es Sora. The Pasuk that was, let's say, this Pasuk was in anticipation of the eventual pregnancy and birth of Yitzchak. So it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Pokad, he remembered Sarah. Kigon Pokoi Pokadati Eschem, that's another Pasuk. Divrei Rabbi Yossi. So according to Rabbi Yossi, if you are trying to amass verses for the Zichronois section, you can cite these psukim to fulfill the quota. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Einon Kizichronos. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, they don't count as Zichronos. You want the word Zikaron or Zochar, Zecher, not Pokad. Now, here we have a Gemara interruption. That's why we have brackets. So the brackets here are not for skipping purposes, just to indicate that it's a Gemara interruption. The Gemara asks, according to Rabbi Yossi, who was willing to cite Vashem Pokad Es Sora, granted, the Gemara says, Ulu Rabbi Yossi Nehi Nami Depiktoinus Hare Hein Kizichronos, granted that Pokad is like Zohar, nevertheless, Vashem Pokad Es Sora, Pikadon di Yachid, who? That's an individual. And we saw a few lines above. You can use the arrows that you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. We saw the Gemara said, Ein maskirin zikaron shel Yachid. How come here, when it comes to the commemoration of Sora, do you say that it is a legitimate pasuk for the Zichronos? Is it not an individual? The Gemara answers, Kivon to Osu Rabba Mina, since she is the matriarch of the nation of Israel, so that the masses came forth from her, Ke Rabim Damya. The Pasuk has the status of a Zikoron, a recollection, a memory of Hashem of the masses. We now continue with a section that might be familiar to many of you, a psukim that we say in different parts of the davening. You see, Tehillim Perichov Dalid, we're going to be dealing right now with psukim Zayin through Yud. And we've written in the Gemara where the pasuk begins. You see a little Zayin here in parentheses, the end of the line, a ches, etc. The Gemara continues. Su shorim roshechem v'nosu pischei oilam v'yovo melech hakavod. Notice we dash line melech hakavod there, and the pasuk says, "Mi zem melech hakavod Hashem Izuz V'Gibor, Hashem Gibor Milchama. Take note, by the way, we have a little note, a starred note, where you see the word Melech has this unusual underlining. It's a dashed underline and a dotted underline. Mikrim, this marking represents Mikrim Ashnuyim B'machloikes Im Nechshavim L'minyin Amalchios Oiloi. The psukim that we cited, or the word that we cited with this type of dash underlining, this double dash underlining, the dashed and dots, is a word that we will see is a point of controversy as to whether it counts as a melech reference when we're counting toward our number 10, 10 melech references. So far we have in this pasuk the word melech dashed underline, and a second time we have it noted with a marking. Pasuk Tes says, Su'u shorim rashechem, u'su'u pischei oilom, v'yavoy melech hakavoid. Pasuk Yud says, Mihu ze melech hakavoid, Hashem tzevokos hu, melech hakavoid tzela. Now, we're not translating this psukim because for right now, the translation is of lesser importance than simply noting how we are counting the reference to Melech in these four, in these five psukim, Zayin Ches, let's say four psukim, Zayin Ches, Tes, and Yud. As we said, we're going to see a machlokes, Reb Yossi, and Reb Yudah, how to do the counting. So if we first start with Shitas Reb Yossi, remember Reb Yudah is the minimalizer. So Reb Yossi is more expansive. He says as follows, Rishayna, that's a reference to psukim Zayin and Ches. Shtayim. So if you go back to the psukim, Zayin and Ches, how many times do you see Melech referred to? So you see, two. V'yavo Melech HaKavod, and Pasuk Ches, it said there, Mi ze Melech. We continue in the Gemara, Shnia. Shnia is a reference to psukim Tes and Yud. How many times do you see the word Melech referred to in Tes and Yud? Shalosh. You can go back, just count the dashed underlinings, and you'll see there are three. Divrei Reb Yossi. So between these four psukim, you find five melech references. Reb Yehuda Oimer. Reb Yehuda disagrees. Again, he's a minimalizer. Where the psukim say, mi hu zeh, or mi zeh, where the pasuk is asking, who is this, this honorable king that is referred to. It's in an inquisitive, interrogative fashion that does not count. So Reb Yehuda Omer, Rishoino Achas, he doesn't count Mize Melech, that was in Pasuk Ches, he doesn't count that one. And Shnia, in the second section, that's Psukim Tes and Yud, so you'll have a total of Shtayim, because there he does not count the Melech reference that you find at the beginning of Pasuk Yud, where it says, Mihu ze Melech HaKavod. And as we said before, if you look back at the markings, you can see where that the dashed and dotted underline appears under one word. Those are the words that are Machlokas between Reb Yossi and Reb Yehuda, where Reb Yehuda does not count them. Another pasuk, Zamru Elokim Zamru, Zamru Lemalkenu Zameru Ki Melech Kol Haaretz Elokim. So in this pasuk you see the word Malkenu and Melech, and again we're following the same marking scheme. The word Lemalkenu is going to be a machlokes. According to Reb Yossi, Shtayim, Divrei Reb Yossi, Lemalkenu is one and Melech is two, so it counts as two Melech references. Reb Yehuda Omer Achas. Reb Yehuda says, no, you don't count Lemalkenu. Malkenu means our king. It's a reference to the king of the nation of Israel. That's not enough when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. You have to acknowledge, according to Reb Yehuda, the Almighty as the king of everybody, not just our king. This point, by the way, emphasized or is brought out in Rashi. Zamru onto the second, third line from the top. Zamru l'malkenu lo kachoshev Reb Yehuda delo amlichtei elo al umo achas. He was coronated. The Almighty is coronated only over one nation. And that's not enough to count for malchios according to Reb Yehuda. We continue in the Gemara. Vishavin, there is agreement. Bemolach Elokim al Goyim, Elokim Yoshav al Kisei Kotshoi. In this pasuk, Shehi Achas. Now, of course, you might say, of course, there's only one Melech word. Well, Rashi explains that the expression Yoshav al Kisei Kotshoi, and he sat on his holy throne, that might have been thought of as a Malchus pasuk. So the Gemara is telling us, no, you don't count that. You have only one Melech reference, and that's from the word Molach Elokim al Goyim. Zikaroin Shiesh Bo Itrua. Now we have a new marking. The double underline is introduced here, and on the side of the Gemara, Zikaron and Malchus Shiesh Imo Itrua. These are psukim where you see Trua combined with Trua as a reference to Shofar, which is combined with either Zikaron or Malchus. How do we position that? How do we count it? What section of the Shemoneh Esrei would these psukim be relevant to? So the Gemara explains: Zikaron Shiesh Boi Trua Kegon Shabosain Zichroin Trua Mikro Kodesh. So a pasuk like that, Oimro Ima Zichroinos VeOimro Ima Shofros Divrei Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbi Yossi, this pasuk would be appropriate for both sections, for Zichroinos and for Shofros. You have Zikaron referred to, and Trua, which is the shofar, reference to the blowing of the shofar. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eino Omro Elo Im HaZichroinos Bilvad. Rabbi Yehuda says that this doesn't have relevance to the shofar section. It has relevance only to the Zichroinos section. And Rashi explains, as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, the word Trua is not a reference to the actual instrument, the we'll call the horn, the shofar instrument. You have to use the word shofar explicitly, because otherwise truas is a reference to a sound, and we want to recount the actual instrument according to Rabbi Yehuda. Malchus shiesh imoy trua kegoin. A posuk where you find monarchy combined with the shofar, kegon Hashem Elokov Imoi Usuas Melech Boi, Oimra Im Hamalchios VeOmra Im Hashofros Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Again, Rabbi Yossi, you see how his approach to these matters is expansive. He says you can say this posuk with Malchus and you can say it with Shofros. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Eino Omra Elo Im Hamalchios Bovad. Of course, Rabbi Yehuda is consistent with what he said before, that Trua does not refer to Shofro, so this pasuk, having made reference to the kingship of Hashem, has relevance only to the Malchios section. Trua she'eni molo klum, a pasuk that has Trua without something else accompanying it, kegon yon Trua yelochem, omro im haShofros divrei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi looks at the word Trua as being a representation of the shofar, hence you can say it in the shofros section. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eino Omra Kol Iker. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not to be said at all. And again, like we saw before, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Trua is a reference to a sound, not the actual vessel. And now as far as the construction of the Shemoneh Esrei, Maschil B'Toru Mashlim B'Novi, Rabbi Yossi Omer Im Hishlim B'Toro Yotza. Before we continue, on the side of the Gemara we have a topic heading. Here the Gemara is involved with a birur, a clarification. Birur Shitas Rabbi Yossi, clarifying his opinion. Bame Mashlimim Apskim. Through what do we conclude the verses? When we have a section of, as we said, 10 verses. What is the 10 verses taken from the 3 sections of the Tanakh, the concluding verse, where does it come from? There is, of course, an assumption here that the psukim are broken down into 3 from the Torah, 3 from the prophets, and 3 from the Ksuvim, the latter writings. That counts only for 9 psukim, but there have to be 10. So where is that, with that last pasuk quoted from? From the Torah, from the Nevi'im? Let's see. Rabbi Yossi said, we saw in the Mishnah that said Masru b'tor mashlim b'novi, Rabbi Yossi Yomer im hishlim b'tor yotza. The Gemara points out im hishlim di evad in l'chadchila lo. The expression im hishlim gives us the impression that that's post facto, that if you completed with a Torah posuk, then you have, even then you have fulfilled, but it's not a first choice. Ah, the hot Tanya, but do we not have the following source? Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Hamashlim b'Torah harei zeh meshubach. One who finishes the verses cited with a Torah verse, that is praiseworthy. So how can in the Mishnah it say that completing with a Torah verse is only post facto acceptable when it's actually praiseworthy? The Gemara says, Emo mashlim. You know, in the Mishnah, you should say instead of im hishlim b'torah, rather Rabbi Yossi says mashlim b'torah. The Gemara says, how can you say that though? V'ha im hishlim kotani di'evin l'chadchila laboni. Look at the words. The words, Rabbi Yossi used the expression im hishlim, which is again a post facto situation. The Gemara answers, Hachi ka'omar. Thusly, you shall understand the Mishnah with Rabbi Yossi. We will preserve the im hishlim, and at the same time, we will point out that Rabbi Yossi holds mashlim b'torah as a first choice. This is a case where you can have your cake and eat it too, and let's see how that's done. The Gemara quotes the rereading of this source of the Mishnah, mashlim b'torah umashlim b'novi. The Tanakhama wants you to begin the section with Torah verses, and the last pasuk shall be from the prophets. Rabbi Yossi Omer, now again, we were focusing on Rabbi Yossi in our section here. Rabbi Yossi Omer, mashlim b'torah. Here you see, first choice, the concluding pasuk shall be from the Torah, not like the Tanakhama that said from the Novi. Ve'im hishlim b'novi yotzen. Here we preserve the ve'im hishlim, but it's im hishlim. The post facto, the b'dieved case, is where you, if you finish with the prophets, you have also fulfilled your requirements. So the Gemara has reread the Mishnah this way. Tanya nami hochi, and we find a brisa that will support this approach. Namely, Rabbi Yossi's approach that being mashlim b'torah, that's the first choice. Finish the section with a Torah pasuk. Tanya nami hochi, Omar Rabbi Yelozer Rabbi Yossi. I think here that the emphasis is the fact that we have Rabbi Elazar citing his father's, that is, Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Elazar says, Vosikin hayu mashlimin oiso b'torah. Vosikin means the old ones, the earlier ones. It seems to me that he's referring to his father. It says his father's practice was to be mashlim with Torah. And that's how we had restated Rabbi Yossi's opinion. As you can see, there's a slash mark indicating a new trend of thought. The Gemara here deals with the how many psukim do we really have for these different concepts? Bishlamo zichronus v'shoifros iko tuva. Granted, for as far as zichronus psukim and shofros psukim, we find a lot. Malchios, but as far as Malchios psukim are concerned, plus hu dahavion, we only find three, and we need one more. Of course, we're referring to the three. Referring to the Malchios from the Torah, the Torah section. Again, we have Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. So when it comes to the Torah section, we're looking for a reference to the Almighty's monarchy over the world, where do we find four psukim? Now, you'll ask, where do we get the number four? So we're working right now within the Shita of Rabbi Yossi that says you have to complete your psukim with a Torah pasuk, not a Nevi'im psukim, not a Novi pasuk, not a Ksuvim pasuk, but a Torah pasuk. So as far as references to zichronos and shofros in the Torah, there are many psukim that will fulfill that purpose. But Malchios, where do you find that? And so the Gemara spells out the three psukim. Hashem Elokov Imoy Usuras Melech Boy, Vayhi Bishurun Melech, Hashem Yimloich Yoylom Voed. So there you've got three psukim. You have one from Bamidbar, Perichov Gimel. You have the second posuk here from Dvarim Perich Lamed Gimel. The third posuk from Shmos Perich Tezvov. V'anan Bo'inon Eser Veleka. We need a total of 10. In order to get your total of 10, you're going to have a fourth posuk from the Torah, according to Rabbi Yossi, and we don't seem to find a fourth Torah Melech Malchios posuk. Omar Rav Huna, Toshma. So Rav Huna says, you have in the following source an answer to the question, again, within Rabbi Yossi. Now what we have here is we have a Tanaic source with a number of psukim that are quoted with a reference to the Almighty as a king, as a master, even if the word melech itself doesn't appear, but masterfulness appears. Rabbi Yossi will tell you that that qualifies as a malchus posuk, again, from the Torah. And in this source, you're going to see, like we made references before, Machlokas Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yuna, but we're emphasizing Rabbi Yossi in our discussion. That's why you see his name is dashed, underlined as we go along. So we continue. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad equals Malchus. Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Here is a posuk from the Torah, very famous posuk, that constitutes a Malchus posuk. Rabbi Yudomer, Eino Malchus. Rabbi says, Eino Malchus, it doesn't count. V'yodato hayoyim v'ashei v'yse el lovavecho ki Hashem hu hu Elokim ein oid. And you see in this passage that the Almighty is referred to as the Elokim ein oid, the only, the exclusive source of strength. That's a Malchus. That equals Malchus, Divrei Rabbi Yossi. And that again is a pasuk from the Torah. Rabbi Omer, Eino Malchus. No, according to Rabbi Yudah, it doesn't count. Equals Malchus. True. Once again, there's no Melech word, but there is the Almighty as the master of all, and there is nothing other than Him. That equals Malchus. Divrei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Omer, Eino Malchus. So as far as our concern with how does Rabbi Yossi account for four psukim from the Torah as opposed to Nevi'im and Ksuvim, from the Torah, where do you see four Malchus psukim? So here you have actually you have quite a choice, and you have three additional psukim that will count as a Malchus pasuk, enabling Rabbi Yossi to conclude the section of Malchus references with a Torah, with a fourth Torah Malchus reference. Before we continue, we have a topic heading on the side where we've simply highlighted several points that we'll discuss in the next few lines. Tkias Shofar B'Musaf. Halel, that means the Tkias Shofar is to take place in Musaf, meaning in the not straight off in the morning, but a little bit later when you finish Shacharis, you go into the Musaf section of the prayers. That's when the Shofar is blown. Halel, on the other hand, B'Shacharis. Halel is recited in the morning. And Loi Oimrim Halel Rosh Hashanah V'Yom Kippur. We'll also see the Gemara make reference to that. That even though Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, technically speaking, are holidays, but to call them festive days warranting the recitation of Halel, that far we do not go. The Gemara. You have a Mishnah. Hoivu Ufnei Ateva B'Yom Tov Shem Rosh Hashanah. The one who is serving as the Shliach Tzibor, the Chazan or the Cantor, who's leading the davening on Rosh Hashanah, Hasheni Maskia. So the Musaf service has the blowing of the shofar. Ubishas HaHalel, and when Halel is to be recited,
apparently it's not recited on Rosh Hashanah. That's what the Mishnah implies. And when Hallel is recited, Harishon Makre es Hallel. The first one, the Shachris Shliach Tzibur, recites the Hallel. The Gemara wants to understand why is it this way, that Shofar is pushed to be later and Hallel is made earlier. My Shno Sheni Maskia. Why? What would be the logic having the second one, the Musaf time for the blowing of the Shofar? Mishum de Baroivam Hadras Melech. This might be a let's say ring a familiar chord, and that is that people come late to shul. When will the pasuk itself says with it in the increased mass is greater honor to the king. So that if you want to perform a mitzvah in public, you want to have a large public in order to fulfill that. That offers greater honor to the Almighty. So if you are going to blow the shofar earlier in the morning, fewer people have shown up. But if you wait later, there will be more people there. So that's why the Sheni is chosen for the time, the Musaf is chosen for the time of shofar blowing, because through that we accomplish Roivam. E Hachi, well, if doing things later enables you to do it in a more glorified fashion because of the greater numbers of people there, Hallel Nami Neimo B'Sheni Mishum Debroiv Am Hadras Melech. Why not have Hallel recited later in the day? Through that you will fulfill this concept of Roivam. Elo Maishno Hallel Debarishon. So then why is it that Hallel is recited earlier? Mishum, because of another consideration. This reason, Makdimin L'Mitzvahs. This is a concept indicating that in fulfillment of mitzvahs, one does so with diligence and a sense of urgency, and hence does so in the morning. Well, then, Tkionami Navid Barisham Mishum, this reason, Makdimin L'Mitzvahs. Then let the blowing of the shofar also be done in the morning, in the Shachris, in order to accomplish this aspect of diligence and urgency. The Gemara answers, in truth, that would be the ultimate consideration, to do things early. However, the shofar is done later, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Bishas Gzeiras Hamalchus Shanu. This Mishnah is featuring a time in history when the foreign powers, the heathen governments, had issued edicts and rulings against the Jewish people and their fulfillment of mitzvos. Now, how does that explain things? So we look in the Rashi first, and then we'll look in Tosfos. Rashi says, "Bishas gzeres hamalchus shana." We're looking at Rashi a little more than halfway down the Rashi column. He says, "Oivim gozru shelo yisku." The enemies issued an edict not to blow the shofar. Vayu orvim lehem kol sheishos. They would lie in wait, in ambush, for 6 hours. Leketz tefilas shachris. They wait till the end of the shachris davening, which shachris is the time allocated for shachris is from sunrise till noon. So the enemies were waiting all those hours, and of course, to preserve ourselves, we wouldn't want to instigate or inflame the goyim, so we wouldn't blow the shofar during those hours that they were laying in wait. And therefore, they pushed it later to blow the shofar in Musaf when the enemies would have already dispersed. Now the Tosfos at the top, it's the only Tosfos on the page, Bishas Gzeres Hamalchus Shanu, Tosfos points out, the Afal Pi Shebot Lo Gzeres Hamalchus, even though that strainful situation of Roman edicts against the Jewish people is no longer a threat, Lo Avdinon Kidamei Kora, we nevertheless do not blow like we used to do in the morning. Afal gav this reason, Makdin L'Mitzvahs, even though that remains a consideration to show your diligence in mitzvah performance. So why not? Why didn't we restore it back once the threat goes away? Why don't we go back to the earlier practice? The Chayshinon Shemo Yachzur Dovel Kukul. We are worried that the old situation of Gentile threats against us might return. So we don't want to be flip-flop the one some this era this way and this era another way. We just keep it at the at that, we'll call that rectified situation or that contingency situation where it's done later in the day at Musaf. Ulapirush haYerushalmi nichot fe. According to the Yerushalmi, things work out even better. Demeforesh shum. According to the Yerushalmi, will offer an explanation. How did the shofar blowing come to be associated with Musaf? So the Yerushalmi explains. Shedimu haOivim shenisasfu liskoya truas milchoma. The Oivim, the enemies of the Jews, thought that the shofar blowing was a sound of warfare, trumpeting to start a war. V'omdu aleim v'horgum, and the enemies saw that as a incitement to war, and they went and killed Jews. Ulekach tiknut kiyus brachos b'musaf, and therefore the rabbis established that the tkios and the brachos of the Shmon Esrei shall be done in Musaf. In other words, we add the Machia, Zechronis, and Shofars in the Musaf Shmon Esrei. The Chichazu, the Koru, the Kriya Shma, the Spalim, the Koran, the Torah. When the enemies saw that the Jewish people were involved with the Kriya Shma, and they said their Shmon Esrei of the morning, and they read from the Torah scroll. The Choser, the Spalim, the Toikin, and then they say again Adat Shmon Esrei with a shofar blowing. Amri, they understood Beni Musayu Inun Askin, that they are involved with their traditional practices. Klomar Bechukeim Ubetayrosam, that the Jews are not trumpeting a shofar for inciting war, but rather it's part of their religious practices. So that gives you the background, the formation of the order of things regarding the shofar blowing and its presence in the Musaf. We continue now in the Gemara. Midika Omar Bishas Hahalel. From the fact that the Mishnah said that when Hallel is recited, then it is done in the morning. Mechlal de Rosh Hashanah leko Hallel, my time off. Well, this implies that Rosh Hashanah is not the time of Hallel. So, and why is that? Omer Rabbi Avohu, Omru Malachi Asheris Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Avohu recounts that the service angel said to the Almighty, Ribbono Shelam, Itnei Ma Ein Yisrael Oimrim Shira Lefanecha Rosh Hashanah Uviyom HaKippurim. Why are the Jews not singing the praise represented by Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Now, Hallel is associated with an expression, an outburst of joy and ecstasy, reflecting our closeness with the Almighty. So, why don't they say that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Amar lehem, so the Almighty said to them, Efsher Melech Yoshev Al Kisei Din. Could it be that a king is sitting on his seat of judgment? V'sifrei Chayim V'sifrei Mesim P'suchim Lefonov, and the books of life and the books of non-life are open in front of him. V'Yisrael Oimim Shira, and the Jews are singing songs of praise and joy. It's inappropriate. There's a time for joy and praise, and there's a time for desisting from that. And Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur being that kind of time, a serious time, hence Hallel is not recited. The Mishnah. Before we continue with the Mishnah, we glance at the side, and the topic heading reads as follows. The Nosei, Ein Oivrim Al Isurim Acherim Kedei L'Kayim Mitzvah Shofar. If a shofar is for some reason inaccessible other than through doing violating a sin in order to gain access to the shofar. We just have to pass up on the shofar. The Mishnah. Shofar Shel Rosh Hashanah. Ein ma'avirin olav es ha-tchum. The tchum is a concept of, it's a measure of distance, and it entails a distance, a limitation on the distance one can walk on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And that's 2,000 amos, without getting into details right now, but if you can't go beyond the city limits of 2,000 amos, or if you're not in a city, if you're out in a field, you can't go beyond your personal dalet amos, a distance of 2,000 amos in any direction. So if you don't have a shofar, and in order to get to one, you'd have to violate the tchum restriction, so you are not allowed to do that. V'ein mefakhim olav es hagal, and one is not allowed to remove a pile of stones from atop a shofar. Lo oilin be'ilon v'lo roich v'nagavi behema. One is not allowed to climb a tree in order to get to a shofar. Now, in climbing a tree, there is a potential that one might break off branches. Likewise, riding an animal. One cannot ride an animal in order to get to a shofar. And riding an animal also, in order to motivate the animal to go faster, people will use a whip. And if a person doesn't have a whip, he might rip off a branch from a tree to serve as a whip. And that is the basis of restricting riding animals on Shabbos and Yom Tov. V'lo shotin al pnei hamayim, nor is one allowed to swim across a body of water to get to a shofar. V'ein chitchin oisoi bein bedavar shu mishum shvus ubein bedavar shu mishum loisase. And one is not allowed to carve out a shofar, to cut a shofar, cut and carve out a shofar using implements, whether it would be a rabbinic restriction or a Torah level restriction, which was the Mishnah refers to as a davar mishum loisase. Loisase meaning don't do a malacha, don't do a formal forbidden activity. Gemara will be more specific later. Avol im rotsa litein l'seichei mayim o yayin yitein. However, if a person wants to put inside a shofar some water or some wine, that he's allowed to do. Ein ma'akvin es hatinoikos miliskoya. One is not to prevent the children from blowing. And one can be involved with them until they learn how to blow the shofar. V'misasek lo yotza. If someone is misasek, meaning he's blowing into a shofar, but he doesn't have any intention of creating the shofar sounds, even if those sounds happen to result, but he was not blowing in the shofar for that purpose, so he doesn't fulfill his requirement. Vashomea min hamisasek lo yotza. If you hear sounds, they might be real shofar sounds, a tkia, a trua, but the person who was blowing it for non-shofar sound reasons. So you are not in fulfillment. There's more detail to this. We're deliberately being a bit vague to allow room for the Gemara to clarify this. As far as the issue of not violating other restrictions in order to access a shofar, my time, why is that? Answer, shofar equals asay hu. Shofar is a positive command. The Torah says instructs us to go and blow or go and hear the shofar. That's a positive command. The Yom Tov equals aseh v'lo yisaseh. Yom Tov, the observance of Yom Tov involves, in addition to the negative command of not doing malachas, there's also a positive command of observing the Yom Tov, of celebrating the Yom Tov. So it has an element of positive and an element of negative. What is the shofar? The shofar has only one element. It's just positive. V'ein asei doiche es loisase v'asei. A positive command does not have the power to overrule or supersede Yom Tov and its restrictions, because Yom Tov is made of a lois aseh and an aseh. Loi oilu be'ilon v'loi roichin agabi behema. The Mishnah had told us things you're not allowed to do. It mentioned you're not allowed to violate tchum, you're not allowed to remove stones from atop a shofar. And then it went on to say other things, not to climb a tree, not to ride a behema. The issue of tchum is something we will call purely rabbinic. It's a rabbinic restriction that was imposed without having in mind some possible Torah-level violation. In other words, it's not a siyog, it's not a fence to prevent some more serious type violation. That's as far as tchum, and according to Rashi, that is true with regard to the removal of the stones as well. So if something that's called purely rabbinic is nevertheless forbidden to violate, forbidden to do, all the more so it would be, or it's even more obvious that a restriction, albeit rabbinic, but that has a, called a Torah level root to it, and a rabbinic restriction imposed to prevent someone from violating a Torah prohibition, that is even more serious. Why does the Mishnah have to spell that out? So the Gemara asks, Hashto de Rabbonon Amrislo. You tell me you're not allowed to violate tchum, you're not allowed to be mefakech hasagal for the sake of the shofar, that's restricted. Do'i raiso mibaya, things that have a Torah violation root to them, do I need to be told that those are forbidden? It's obvious they're forbidden. If something is purely rabbinic is restricted, something that has a more serious side to it is even more obviously restricted. So the Gemara says, you're right, and the structure of the Mishnah is zu. I'm telling you that tchum is usur, and v'ein sorach lomar zu, kotoni. And the Mishnah is trying to say that after I tell you that tchum is forbidden, I don't have to, it goes without saying that climbing the tree and riding the animal is all the more forbidden. This is a Mishnah style that when we don't have another, let's say, more satisfactory, more fulfilling answer, this is a legitimate Mishnah structure. To have something that's obvious, that's taught in the Mishnah, and the Gemara explains that it's there in the I don't have to tell you sense. Once I tell you something of lesser significance is forbidden, I don't have to tell you that something of greater seriousness is certainly forbidden. The Gemara continues at the top of Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. The Ein Choytchin Oisoi Bein Bedover Shu Mishum Shvus Ubein Bedover Shu Mishum Loisase. The Mishnah said that you're not allowed to prepare a shofar, which involves cutting it and carving it out and shaping it. You're not allowed to do that, whether it is with something that is Mishum Shvus, that would be, if you do it, would be a rabbinic violation, and you're not allowed to do it with something that would be a Torah-level violation. So what does that mean, Mishum Shvus, in this context? Mishum Shvus equals Magla. In order, if you were to use a Magal, a Magal is a type of chopping device, but it's not the vessel that is designed for shofar making. It's not the standard cutting device. In other words, if you were to take, let us say, a hatchet, for carving out a shofar. Hatchet is used for chopping wood, not for preparing shofars. So if you were to use a hatchet, for example, since it's unusual, it's not the standard way, it's considered a rabbinic prohibition. So the Mishnah is telling you, don't use a hatchet. And what else did the Mishnah say? Don't use something that would be mishum loisase. What's that? Sakina. Sakina, you can translate as a knife. It's a, we'll call it the standard shofar preparation knife. If you were to make a shofar on Yom Tov, that's your making a vessel. Making a vessel is an isur malacha if you do it in the standard weekday method, using a standard weekday implement. Now, sakina is that. So the Mishnah is telling you, don't use a hatchet and don't use a knife. So the Gemara asks a question very similar to that which we saw just before. Hashto mishum shvus amrislo. Once you tell me that you're not allowed to use the unusual implement, which would be only a rabbinic violation, but nevertheless you're not allowed to do it on Rosh Hashanah proper. Loisase mibaya. Something that is forbidden on a Torah level. Do I need that to be spelled out as forbidden? So the Gemara says, you're right. Zu, the Ein Sorach Lomar Zu Kotani. I'm telling you, don't use even the rabbinic type thing. And it goes without saying that you're not allowed to use the standard type implement. That's the structure of the Mishnah. It's in that fashion, what's called the Zu, the Ein Sorach Lomar Zu style. If you want to put into it some water or some wine, that you can do. And by doing so, we're not considering that as if you're mesakein mona, that if you're improving the vessel that way. The Gemara says, Mayim o yayin in, may raglayim lo. As far as liquids that you might put in to the shofar, it might make it shinier. It could improve the shofar. You have your choice only water and wine. But not, this we'll say not, or this is to the exclusion of may raglayim, urine. Masnisin money, the Mishnah which implies or infers that Mei Raglaim is forbidden, is in accordance with whom? Abba Sholhi. It follows his approach. Desyani Abba Shol Omer, Mayim Oyayin Mutter, Kedei Litzachsecha. You can put into a shofar water or wine, which serves to Litzachsecha to shine it up. Mei Raglaim Osir, Mipnei HaKovod. Even though Mei Raglaim might also be effective in this toward this ends, don't use it because it's lack of honor. After all, you're using the shofar for performing a mitzvah, and to have a tasher shel mitzvah, a mitzvah vessel exposed to Mei Raglaim, that is total lack of respect. So even though there is a reasonable ends in mind, the ends does not justify the means. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, especially in the context of accessing marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.